Okay, well, we're going to start with today's lesson is, what do we do with our liberty? Which was kind of the conversation that we were having with Jeanette and Bob about a day ago, you know, is, well, what do we do with our liberty if we have all this liberty? It reminds me of a story that I heard in Arkansas when we lived down there. They talked about, they have a lot of chicken houses down there. And I'm not talking about the egg-laying type. I'm talking about where they put in a bunch of little chicks and raise them up to a certain age, and then they sell them, you know. So you've got a huge house full of chickens. I mean, it's just totally full. And so they talked about the day that a tornado came, and it ripped off the whole hen house. But all the chickens were still there. And they didn't know what to do. They stayed there. They didn't say, oh, I'm free, and they all ran off anywhere. They had the same question we've got, having come out of bondage, is what do we do now with this liberty that we've got? You know, and our first tendency is to want to go back under bondage. Tell me what to do, right? That's what we want. We rebelled against everybody telling us what to do. All those religious people, they want our money, they want us to, they tell us all. And then as soon as we've got freedom, it's, well, tell me what to do. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where the Lord asks us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And to me, this is kind of an exciting thing, what we've got under God. In other words, God says we're grown-ups. We get to make our own decisions. And that is not what most churches teach. They teach you've got to do this, and you're going to get punished if you don't do that. They're continually trying to tell you. But what kind of liberty is Paul talking about when he says stand fast in the liberty? The first thing is he's talking about freedom from religion. Amen. And along with freedom from religion is freedom from condemnation. Because that's what we've been under. That's what everybody's under the whole time, is you're being told you have to meet a certain standard. Whether it's your parents or it's the church or whatever it is, you're being told always you have to meet a certain standard or you're not going to make it. In one way or another. So, and yet, anything that is not grace, believing it that God saves us as we are, that He forgives us as we are, anything that is not grace is self-righteousness. In other words, all the good encouragement that a parent does for their child to try to get them to be good and all those things, we raise them up the best way we can. But in a sense, we're teaching them, if we're not teaching them grace, we're teaching them self-righteousness. In other words, you can do it by yourself. Self-righteousness is a religion. Go to any religion and see what they're telling you about how you can make yourself right. Go to the atheists and see what they're telling you about how you can make yourself right. Every single religion is telling you how you can make yourself right, which means how you can be justified by the good works that you do. And it's all vanity and hypocrisy. Anybody that tells you can be justified by the good works that you do, they're lying to you. Why? Because let's stay here. But in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Paul assures us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Right? So, and yet the whole world system is trying to get you to prove that you're righteous. That you're right in God's eyes. So that's why, just stay in Galatians chapter 5. That's why in verse 2, Paul goes on to say, he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He goes on to say, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, or you might say by your own behavior, ye are fallen from grace. So back to the beginning where he says, every man that is circumcised, in that day circumcision was the problem. The Jews were coming to the Gentiles and saying, well, if you really want to be accepted by God, you have to be circumcised. But today, I mean, you could put anything in there for circumcision. You could put baptism. You could put saying the Lord's Prayer. You could put giving money. Whatever they're telling you justifies you or makes you right before God makes you a debtor to the whole law. If they can convince you that you're going to please God by doing certain good works, then you got to do them all. The law doesn't have an exception. So anything I do out of obligation, or because I'm supposed to, or because I think this makes me right before God, excludes me from the grace of God. Do you understand that? Because I'm still under the law. And what does that mean? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. If I'm still under the law...
That's what everyone's been taught all this time.
That is what everybody's being taught. All this, the whole world system. I mean, Satan's got it just the way he wants it. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, you've got to see that it's some opposites right in that verse. There's two opposites. Believe in your works or believe in Christ. It's just as simple as that. So, do you understand what it means? Nobody is going to heaven depending on their own goodness or good works to get there. Is that wild? Go tell that to a pastor. They're still under bondage. They have not understood the meaning of salvation under grace. Grace is a free gift. It's a free gift for those who know they don't deserve it. Right? That's the first step. Grace is a free gift for those of us who know that we don't deserve the free gift because we know we can't earn it. We're not good enough. That know that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again. Are you still trying to justify yourself before God and man? God knew we couldn't. That's why he planned the cross from the beginning. And yet, religion is teaching us all along that we can. How good are we? Now, we did this last week, but one more time I'm going to ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We need to remember where we came from. Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. And that's what we're talking about, right? What the world teaches you to do. I mean, what else would you ever imagine? Except that you should look at how the world's going and do what it does. Walk according to the course of this world. But you didn't know that it was according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, by nature, the children of wrath. So that's what a lot of people don't understand, is we were born, our natural inclination is, we're sinners. We're selfish. We do what we want, what's good for us. This shows us what we were, but now can we get better by our own efforts? That's what the question, this is what, in a sense, makes grace so hard. How can we get better by our own efforts? And so Paul takes us to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, dealing with that subject. Can we get better by our own efforts? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, or let me ask you this. Received ye the Spirit, that's capitalized, Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit into you by how good you behaved, by the works of the law? Or did you get it by faith, by trusting in Christ? That's what he's asking you. And the obvious answer is it was by trusting in Christ. I sure didn't bring that Holy Spirit into me myself. And he says, well, then in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? But go to any church in town and they'll start telling you how to make your flesh perfect. Right?
Yeah.
How to get yourself behaving right. That's what you got to do. And yet, that would be giving up our liberty. That would be going back into bondage. That is what religion wants us to do. You know, think about the rules where you came from. If you were raised in a church, if you went to the church, they had rules. And all you have to do is start thinking about them, whatever they were. That's what you're supposed to do in order to be pleasing to God, whatever those were. And yet they were perversions of the gospel, because the gospel teaches you that it's not by any works that you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, deals with one of those rules. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And it says in verse 17, it says, Paul is talking, and he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That means the baptism he's talking about here is one thing, and the gospel is another thing. And he says, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And to me, that's really simple. It's saying you can't talk somebody into belief. You can't twist their arm and use wonderful words and somehow intellectually persuade them to trust in Christ. That would be your ability. And he says, not with wisdom of words, otherwise the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's God who does the work, not us being able to convince people. We bring them the information. God opens their hearts to understand. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. How do you handle a person who doesn't believe anything? Well, you preach the cross to them. But if they're close to it, it's foolishness to them. They'll ridicule you or they'll walk away from you, but that is all you can do. You can't hit them over the head and make them sit down and talk them into it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So the gospel is the preaching of the cross. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins on that cross. Which is the power of God unto us who are saved. Now, where he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, again, there you could put in not to circumcise, not to give the sinner's prayer, not to ask people to give money to be saved, whatever it is, any of these kind of things to justify you. It's the power of God that saves us, and it's not anything that we do. So, all the credit goes to Jesus Christ. What are we without him? All the honor is going to go to Jesus Christ. So we're children of wrath by nature. That's our nature. So if somebody talks us into doing something by our strength and our nature, we're back in the flesh. We're not. It's not the Lord's work. It's our work. And we're in trouble again, because it's all him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, where Paul really makes this point. Because people are arguing over who baptized who or who got saved by who. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So Paul and Apollos were teachers, preachers. And through them, people came to believe. But, he says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that's why it's such a miracle when you come in front of somebody, like Sharon got to do with a pastor in Holly Springs, and you give them the truth, and you see this light brighten up in their faces, and they say, whoa! And then you know that you didn't do that. Otherwise, you'd start having an ego again. You brought them the information. But the Lord touched their hearts, man. That's the neatest of things. So, what did you do to get saved? What did you do to get saved?
Believe.
Right. And that's not an, what would you say, not an active act. It's a passive act, right? Is the information came to
faith
you.
It is not a work.
It is not a work, yeah. I just believed in what Jesus Christ did for me, is what a person says. What makes you think you are worthy now to go to heaven?
Because he said so.
You're going to heaven, but it's not because you're worthy. Then how, if we are unrighteous, are we going to heaven? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And I got this verse. Oh, here's Frank just at the right time. I got this verse from coming on a Tuesday, and Frank just went over this verse, and it impressed me so much that I had to bring it to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. How are we going to go to heaven if we're unrighteous? Because look what it says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We're unrighteous. Know ye not that we will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, we're fried then, right? Because that's us. And it says so, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're what? Sanctified, justified,
washed
by our own actions and behaviors? No. Because of what the Lord did for us, and by the one that actually did the work, is the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, that's pretty amazing, because here I am, just a plain old sinner still, and yet I'm washed, I'm sanctified, I'm justified, God did all the work. So, He does the heavy work, He always have, He always will. We just need to start trusting in Him. Yes?
The unrighteous, is that's not non-believers, that's us.
See, that's what I was saying, but
no,
right. We were the unrighteous. We non-believers are all unrighteous, right? The whole world is unrighteous. That's describing us. But we are washed is us believers, right? So He makes us righteous, even though in our everyday walk and life, we are actually unrighteous still. We're still sinners, see? But we're washed. We're sanctified. We're made righteous by the Holy Spirit, right? So, but what I want you to really get here is, does that mean we ever get to take credit for our spiritual growth and our improved behavior?
No.
See, the assumption that the churches make is if they don't put you under the law, your behavior is never going to improve. But the truth is that the more you understand and the more you believe, the more you want to please God. Not because you're under some kind of threat or something, but because you love Him. Look where we were and look what He did for us, right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You know this verse, and I doubt that there's any church that isn't aware of it. And yet they don't preach this. They're afraid to preach this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, "For by grace are ye saved." And remember, grace is an undeserved gift. If you deserve it, you don't get it. Grace is an undeserved gift. Through faith, we believe. That's how we get it, by believing. And it's not of ourselves. It's not of anything we can do. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But tell me something I can do so I can feel proud of myself. That's what the chickens say, right? That we're given their freedom, you know, is tell me what to do. If we truly understand these verses, then we're humbled. Not acting humble. Because acting humble is thinking we're somebody and pretending we're not. But being humble is knowing we're not, and yet that our great God considers that we are righteous, you know. So if we're not that way, then we still think we have some worthiness apart from Christ. That's what gives us pride, is we still are looking at our fleshly selves, and some of us are smarter than others, some of us are better looking than others, some of us make more money than others, and there's all kinds of little earthly reasons why we can take pride in ourselves. But if we are thinking that, then we have some growing to do, right? Some spiritual growing, which we all have some spiritual growing to do. But let's not fake it. Let's admit it. That's how growth begins. Not by thinking we are somebody, but by knowing we're not. Liberty allows us to do this and takes the pressure off of us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. So Paul ends up this lesson he's given us here in the first verses of Galatians chapter 5 in verse 5 by saying, "For we, through the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit capitalized, "wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Wait? Not to work? That's a hard thing, isn't it? It's always been hard for me to wait because I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. So somebody catches you in your earthly position of unrighteousness and catches you doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and says, and you call yourself a Christian. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, I'm a Christian, but not because of how I behave, but because of how I believe. To God, the heart is much more important than the behavior. And religion has got it backwards. They've been having us concentrate on our behavior all along. Not in myself, but in somebody far greater who has already counted me righteous and has promised to make me righteous. That's who I'm counting on, not me. So if I don't measure up to what you think a Christian ought to measure up to, well, that's good, because I don't measure up. That's how it relieves the pressure from us. We don't have to pretend anymore. Meantime, though, what do I do with my liberty? Do I believe I can do anything? Do you believe I can do anything?
No,
I've always believed that.
You can do anything you think you can do.
I'm free, right?
Right.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, he's just told us that we're washed, we're sanctified, and we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And now he says, all things are lawful unto me. I mean, I have said that in front of pastors and they get red in the face and they're allergic to it. Because they've been preaching for a long time that, no, you can't do that. All things aren't lawful to you. The law says do this, that, and the other. But guess what the words say? All things are lawful unto me, but not all things... Excuse me. but all things are not expedient. So expedient can mean something as simple as convenient or to my betterment or to the betterment of others, right? Not all expedient. And then he says again, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So in other words, I can do anything. But is everything healthy for me or for the other members of the body or for unbelievers? That's the question I have to deal with as a grown-up, right? I can do anything. But now I'm a free man. See, before I was a free man, I was rebelling against the law. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Don't you tell me what's right. But now I'm free, and I have to make up my own mind. What do I do with this liberty? I would like to please God. How? And you always hear in here, we'll study His Word. Study His Word so the Holy Spirit can open our understanding to the wisdom and knowledge of God. I've done it myself, and I've heard other people say it to me. Well, how can I please God? Well, do you know His Word? Oh, no. Well, if you get to know Him in there. You get to know what He's all about. You get to know what He's like. You get to know what He's going to turn us into. So if you study His Word, you know these things. And if you know these things, they influence you, especially with the Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us. I like it this way, the way where you study His Word and let it influence you. And so you want to do the things that please God. I like it that way. But I tried it first the other way for years and years and years. I was the person who was saved. I'm saved. I was saved before I knew you. And look how I was behaving.
And look how you turned out.
Well, look how I was behaving. Because how I was behaving was I was in a dog-eat-dog business world, and I was one of the dogs. You know, and thank you, Lord, for saving me, but this is dog country here. I don't need you here. I know how to do the dog-eat-dog business, right? And I did. I went through it for a long time. And there are consequences to it. I suffered. My children suffered. There's a lot of hurt. I won't burden you with all the hurt. I will say there was an advantage. The lessons are deep. They're painful. And they last the rest of your life. So it costs you. But you've got the freedom to do it. I mean, you can do it that way. That's the hard way. And that's what religion is afraid of. I mean, it's good intentions. Religion is afraid you're going to do that, so they want to force you to do it the other way. They want to force you through guilt and fear and all of that to get you to behave yourself. That's why they try to keep you under the law. But keeping you under the law is what keeps you from growing. Right? Because you're stunted then. You can't grow spiritually. You can't follow the Lord when you're busy having to obey out of fear. But God has it covered. The Holy Spirit who is in each one of us will still do His job. Can you count on it? I count on it. Amen. It saves me from despair at times when I look at my condition. To be able to say, but the Lord is going to take care of that. He's in charge. He said He's going to take it from beginning to end. He's in charge of that. He's in charge of making me right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And of course, one of the things that we all need to know, one of the things that the religions should know, is they don't have to worry about the Christian who decides to go the wrong way. Because God's got it all covered, every way. Once we're in, we're in. You don't get out. You're in. Doesn't matter how you behave, you don't get out.
Unless He just throws you out.
No, He doesn't throw you out. This is what He does for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to stop for just a second that first verse. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. I raised a child with hardly any knowledge of the Lord. And I'm reaping that to this day. I raised a child with the knowledge of the Lord. And I am reaping that to this day. I have great pleasure and wonderful feelings do I get out of that. Out of the other, I love her too. But I get great pain to this day. And I know that if I'd have just been following the Lord, it could have been a whole different story. So there's lots of ways, but you reap what you sow. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I think he says that, you know, because here we are wanting to please God, trying to do the best we can, and we run into people all the time that make us really want to get back in the flesh and get revenge. Is that what we were talking about? get our little pound of flesh. And so we really would like to shake loose the idea that we're God's children and we ought to be aware of that and we ought to behave in such a manner, and we'd like to behave the other way. But he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So it's going to come out okay for us. God's assuring us of that. Don't worry about it if you have a small thing you're suffering right now. Oh, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, unto one another. So, is this a law? You want to know what to do with our liberty? Here's a suggestion. Do this. You know, this is a good thing we can do with our liberty. So, all things are lawful, but what is expedient to us? We got to decide that because we're grown-ups in Christ. Even those children back there, they're grown-ups in Christ. They've got to decide, what kind of a harvest do we want? Will we lose our salvation if we choose to live as if God wasn't in our lives? No. We're not going to lose our salvation. Not if we truly believe the gospel. But we will suffer the consequences both on this earth and in due season. That's what he says. So let's study God's word. Let's pray. Let's be aware that God is right here with us, knowing everything we say, do, or think. See, you'd have a lot more conversations with God if you were aware of the fact that he knows every thought you're having. Whoops. Sorry, Lord, I kind of went the wrong way there. I guess you haven't fixed me there. Please fix me there. You know, these are honest. You have honest conversations if you know that the Lord knows every thought that you have. Let's remember that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he suffered and died to save us from our sinful condition. Let's remember that we're going to spend an eternity with him, starting from the day we first trusted in him. He's already indwells us through the Holy Spirit. Let's remember some other things. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. This was a warning I should have heard when I first became a Christian. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we are free. And we can go out there and do these things that he's listed as things of unrighteousness. We can do them. We have the liberty to do them. But there are consequences. Just like if you break the law, there are consequences. You know, there are consequences to things. And then Romans chapter 6. Verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Here's some things we can do with our liberty. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, reckon is like count or believe, right? Well, I know that those of us who were great sinners in our life, we're a little allergic to that thing about reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, because we just got relieved from condemnation, right? We were condemned all our lives. Everything this says in it is unrighteous. Well, that's us. And so now we find out about grace, and the Lord forgave us, and everything's great, and we're so happy. And then it says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And then, I'm going to sin again tomorrow. You can count on it. I mean, that's a sad fact, but I'm going to have selfish thoughts. I'm going to do selfish things. You can count on it. So I'm a little nervous about that reckon part. That isn't a law, is it? No, it's not a law. But it would be expedient for us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. You're definitely going to have sin poking around in your mortal body, but don't let it reign. Don't let it control you in your mortal body. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I'm guilty of yielding my members as unrighteousness unto sin. But he says, instead, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So what do we do with this? We pray. Lord, I know I don't measure up to this. I do that from time to time. I yield to the Lord correctly. But I want to do it all the time. But we can admit it because we're forgiven. He knows who we are. He knows every way we fall short. He's not getting surprised here. So we can admit it, and we can go from there. Is this a law? No, it's expedient. You know, it's healthy for us. How can we do good without it being a fleshly desire to prove ourselves worthy? You know, that's the question that comes up about grace, especially with people that have been raised in a church that's imposed behavior on them. And it's by knowing we're not worthy. Right? We still want to do good. And when we do, it's exciting. But it's not something to be egotistical about, because we know we're not worthy. But counting ourselves to be dead unto sin and yielding ourselves to God for His righteousness. He has a plan for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11.
Go where?
Romans chapter 8, verse 11.
Yes, I was swept through that one. With my eyes open.
That's okay, Frank.
I even closed them.
He even forgives you for that.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and He does if you believe.
Amen.
He does. He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
That's a pretty exciting thing to know. That's a problem. Not me. Not you, James. You don't have to do it. You can maybe wish, like myself. I'm a lot of years older than you, and I'm still wishing. So he takes his time. He works a lot slower than we do. But He will quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit. And then verse 8:29. Listen to this. He knew which one of us were going to be saved, which one of us were going to believe. And here's what He did about it. Well, let's go back to verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I got to tell you, I've had a life with so many knocks and ups and downs and bumps and hurts and pains. And yet I know it all worked for the good. Now, looking back, I know it all worked for the good. I know this verse is true. And why? For whom, verse 29, He did foreknow. Did foreknow we were going to be His believers. He also did predestinate to believe. No, he doesn't predestinate us to believe. He predestinates those who believe to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, wow. Can you ever believe? Can you believe that? I'm picking on you a little bit, James, because you're a young man in college, you know, with all the fleshly temptations and desires and everything else. And I remember when I was, and I think if somebody told me that one day I was going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, not me, but God's going to do it. God's going to do the work. That's what you can count on. That's a pretty neat thing. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4.
He even gives
some 5 years. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Yes, Lord.
Even when we were dead in sins, he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, our citizenship is in heaven. We are, our reality is here. God's reality is we're seated in heavenly places. All right, see, he doesn't have time like we do. We know, oh no, we're not up there yet. But he's outside of time. He's in eternity. And in his eternity, we're seated up there. And why? Why is he doing that? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, that's really hard for me to believe, because I thought nothing could be kinder than him forgiving me. That's a pretty big thing. Amen. But he's going to show exceeding kindness, he says. So that's all taken care of, right? We are saved. We are going to be perfect. He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace, as if what he has already done is not enough. But meanwhile, what are we going to do with this liberty that comes from being a new man in Christ? We're grown up. The chickens wanted somebody to tell them what to do. The Jews did too, and they got the law. But he's giving us grace. And so we're the grown-ups. We get to be in control of ourselves. What do you want to do? Pray without ceasing? You know, that's an interesting verse, pray without ceasing. You know, first of all, you got to know that God is real. And you got to know that he's in you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to think towards God. Right? Because all our lives we thought to ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
Our parents said, you did wrong. And we thought in our own mind, well, not really, and it was his fault. Mm-hmm. But now we do that to God. You know, we brought God in our thoughts. That's the only way you can pray without ceasing. Is every thought you have, you share with the Lord. You're aware of his presence. Boy, that'll change your behavior without you even trying to change your behavior, you know.
He's going to get tired of this.
How about study to... No, I don't think so. I think he wants the relationship. Study to show yourself approved. Well, I've gotten a little pushback on that. What if I don't study all the time? Nobody studies all the time. My mom, who came to know the Lord late in her life, got all of hers off the TV from, I wouldn't even tell you who it was. Oh, yeah, the Crystal Cathedral guy.
Oh, Schuler.
Yeah. But through him, she came to know and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for her salvation, you know. And if you came up to her and gave her a test, said, okay, how much have you studied? She'd fail the test. But she trusted in the Lord. So she's saved. So some people have said, well, you know, some people think that I go home and, man, I just study all the time. I think Karen and Frank probably add up to more of the studiers. And I think you would more, Frank, if you didn't have a job. You know, you'd probably study even more than you do. But you know, I'm a very undisciplined person, and mine all came down to God put me in this position where I had people to teach. And so I studied to teach, and that's how I learned. So I can't even take credit for that, because when I don't have somebody to teach, in those years when I came, when I came from Mexico to the States and I didn't have a class, it was like I felt lost, you know. I no longer could study. What a poor, undisciplined person, you know. I shouldn't have to have somebody to teach to study. But the point I want to make is that some people study when they're here, and that's still studying. You know, it's not a quantity that gets you into heaven or not. Amen. But the more you study, of course, the more you know the Lord, the more comfortable you are with His Word, the more you understand His desires, you know. So how about be a minister of reconciliation? That's what we are, you know, is to anybody that doesn't understand what the Lord has done for us, we're available to tell them. That doesn't mean what a lot of religion does to you. Here's the pamphlets. Go out and start putting them all out, or you won't be worthy. Or if you're standing next to somebody in line, you've got to immediately say to them, "Hey, do you know how to be saved?" You know, I've seen people, including myself, get scared of going and standing in line, because if I do, I'm going to have to start telling them. It's neat if you can. I ran into a man who did it all the time. You know, he did it all the time. He was in Mexico. He says, "I do it all the time. I do it when I'm in McDonald's. I do it everywhere." And I said, "Well, man, that's great." I said, "Well, look, why don't you tell them about our Bible study and tell them to come to our Bible study?" He says, "Oh, no, they're not interested in the Bible." But that's part of what you can do, what can be expedient, right, if you know enough, is to tell people how they can be saved. How about yield to the fruit of the Spirit? Let God work through you. You know, you get impressions, and there's things that you can do. Now, I'm going to tell you that God has never spoken to me out loud. But I do have, I get an impression of guilt. It's very clear when I've done something that's not right. And I get impressions to that person needs help or whatever it is. Those things are there. How about love the members of the body? It comes naturally to people that understand grace because they're humble. And I don't mean humble like this. I mean, they just know that they're not worthy without the grace of God, you know, and help others financially. That's what this body does. You know, we help each other financially all the time. And the times we don't help members of this body are because the members don't speak up. And I made the point last week that you need to speak up. You need to share where you're hurting, not only financially, but in any other way. How about celebrate the Lord's Supper? Do you want to? Do you not want to? All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. We'll talk about that more next week. How about waiting for the righteousness that comes by faith? See, whatever we're doing, we're not earning our righteousness. That's what makes it so neat, this thing under grace, is that we're not earning our righteousness. God says He's going to make us righteous. He's already counted us righteous in His own eyes, and He's going to make us righteous. Do you believe it? He says He's going to do it. Well, then quit trying to do it yourself. Make yourself righteous, you know. Quit trying to earn your righteousness through self-effort, because it's not possible, right? It's not possible. No, thank you. But you are free. You know, like, for instance, I can sit up here and I can advise you. And I have lots of experience both ways. I've tried pleasing the Lord. I've tried studying His Word and following it. I like that way better now that I've tried it. But I spent about 15 years the other way of my life, is just doing it on my own. And I can tell you, I don't like that way. But I know it's okay, because everybody's going to go through that period of time, maybe not as dumb as me for 15 years. I had a conversation with my brother the other day, and we used to think we were smart. Never mind. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. where the apostle tells us, "For the grace of God," in verse 11, "that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Well, I know I'm a peculiar person. I used to be peculiar in the opposite direction. Now I'm peculiar. He's one of those religious guys, my son's friends, when we're going to go visit and having them over. He says, "Well, now he's one of the religious guys, you know." And then they're happy to discover that I don't get up and start preaching to them immediately or anything, you know. But I'm a peculiar people, and I've actually gotten to the point where I'm zealous of good works. I like it when I'm able to do a good work, you know. But I don't do it all the time. But I like it. I'm zealous of good works. So if you want to try it the other way for a while, the way where you find out the hard way, go ahead. But you know that this is where we're headed. We're going to be good. whether you like that right now or not, we're going to be good. Your decision is only about how much time you want to waste and how much you want to suffer on the way. That's as simple as that. You're going to heaven. You're going to be perfect. How much time do you want to waste? And how much do you want to suffer on the way? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. We'll close with that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And we'll back up to verse 15. You're rubbing off on me, Frank. You're rubbing off on me. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In other words, make use of the time we've got, because the days are evil. "Therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So everything is lawful for us. But what are we going to do that's expedient in this little time that's left? Because the days are evil and time is running out. What do we do with our liberty? Live God's way? Do we want to? We're grown-ups. We get to make the decision. Let's pray.